Welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you've set aside a few minutes to spend with us today. In each episode of this podcast, we'll share some of what we're learning in the work we do with kids and families on a daily basis at Daystar Counseling in Nashville, Tennessee. Our goal is to help you care for the kids in your life with a little more understanding, a little more practical help, and a whole lot of hope. So pull up a chair and join us on this journey from our little yellow house to yours. David, did you know that Ethos School offers over 100 relational, high-quality online courses for 4th to 12th grade students?
That number is impressive. But what's even more impressive is that word relational. That's the part of education that is often overlooked, especially with online schools.
Yes, Ethos is an online Christian school that partners with parents to shape their children as whole people, academically, socially, and spiritually.
They have such a variety of classes, such as Biblical Greek, AP Physics, computer coding, multiple world languages, dual credit, and advanced placement options.
Ethos online teachers are expert educators, and each one either has or is currently pursuing a graduate degree. No wonder Ethos advanced placement scores soar above national averages.
Right now, Ethos School is offering to waive the $95 enrollment fee for our podcast listeners, plus a complimentary academic counseling session to plan your child's academic journey.
Visit ethosschool.org/RBG or click the link in our show notes to take advantage of the waived enrollment fee offer and to plan your child's educational journey with an Ethos academic counselor.
Visit ethosschool.org/RBG today.
Dr. Ashley Panetta provides cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and other evidence-based approaches for a variety of conditions and concerns, such as anxiety, OCD, depression, medical illness, stress, interpersonal conflict, parenting support, ADHD, behavior management, and adjustment concerns, such as bereavement, changes in careers, or school. She treats individuals of all ages, including children, adolescents, and adults. She is committed to supporting individuals and families using individualized, collaborative, and evidence-based treatment approaches that support each person's strengths, needs, and goals. And she's one of our favorite referrals. Ashley, we are so excited to get to talk to you. We've been planning this for months, I think.
Yes.
Trying to make it happen.
I'm excited to be here.
Oh,
thank you.
And we've been referring to you for, I think, a decade.
I think so.
At least.
Absolutely. It is wonderful to collaborate with you guys for so many years.
You are such a gift to this city.
That's what I was going
to
say. You are one of the most trusted voices for us out there. And so it just is such a treat for us to have you in this room and for our folks to get to hear from you.
Same here. Thank you
so
much.
Yes.
Well, we'd love to even start just by asking you, what would you say you are seeing the most in your offices with kids these days?
Well, it's hard to say the most because anxiety and OCD, which is what I focus on, presents in so many different ways. But I would say I see a lot of kids who are really bright and high achieving. And so while that is wonderful, of course, right, they're very driven, focused, that can also come with a lot of perfectionistic thinking and fear of failure and self-criticism. Sometimes they really fear disappointing their coaches and teachers and parents. And so it can really inhibit them from trying new things or getting outside of their comfort zone.
Yes.
So I really like working with them and figuring out some strategies that they can figure out how to manage that internal and external pressure that they feel. Yeah. And then also be compassionate with themselves so they can know that they're going to mess up. And that's part of learning and getting better at things.
Yes. I'm so glad you're in that space because all three of us have been doing this long enough to see such trends.
Yeah.
And post-pandemic, I think even more significantly. And
that's
would say, I mean, I feel like in the last 9 to 12 months, you know, it's fascinating to see even how anxiety kind of manifests at different times and with different age groups. But I feel like I'm seeing more either true OCD or just OCD symptoms of anxious kids than I've ever seen before. Are you seeing that
really?
Too?
Well, I guess I'm used to seeing OCD.
That's true. So that's kind of where your specialty is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But that's so interesting.
It's fascinating and makes me so sad for the kids that are experiencing it.
Oh, it is. It can feel like such a struggle.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, if that's kind of what you're seeing the most of with kids, what about parents? What are you seeing in terms of
kids? I actually find that parents are really proactive. Mm. So meaning that I often get calls from parents who will just call and say, hey, my kid is just worrying more than I want them to. Maybe they're noticing their kid biting or picking their nails more than they used to, or maybe they're getting more rigid about their bedtime routine and yes. get agitated if they can't do it just so. And so they're just wanting their kids to get some support. So this actually meshes really well with how I conceptualize cognitive behavioral therapy and exposures and mindfulness, where I just think of them as good life skills to have.
Amen.
So like, just like you guys, yes. I use them every day.
Yes.
And frankly, I wish I knew them as a kid.
I know.
So yeah. So it feels like a gift to be able to share it with so many young people, and hopefully they can benefit from them the rest of their lives.
Yes. We were just talking about that, about how much of... It's easy for therapy to become more about reaction rather than preventative work.
Yes.
And I love that that's
yes,
what you're talking
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That on a daily basis, we're doing some of this work.
Exactly.
Yes.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Along those lines, what do you believe kids need most from their parents today?
I think more stillness because we are so busy, whether it's doing fun after school activities or schoolwork, and all that's wonderful, right? I'm all about the balance. Of
right.
things. And so there's good in all of that. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I think it's helpful for us to slow down a little bit, because that busyness is sometimes a way for us to mask anxiety or other unwanted, uncomfortable emotions or thoughts.
Yes.
So yeah, I think it can be helpful to figure out if you're binge watching a show because you love the show, or you're binge watching it because you don't want the quiet and the stillness.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a great question. Yeah. So our season of the podcast this season is about raising emotionally strong and worry-free kids, which obviously we know we're progressing towards that rather than have achieved it. But if you were going to say what an emotionally strong child looks like to you, what are some things you would say?
Yeah, that's a big question.
Yes.
So I would say I think an emotionally strong child is a child that learns more and more that they're going to feel all the emotions and every emotion serves a purpose.
Yes.
So if we think about anger driving us to action when we see injustice. Anger helps keep us safe. And so remembering that we're going to feel all the emotions, and how can we learn more and more strategies to feel more and more self-empowered to manage those uncomfortable emotions. And then also swinging to the more positive, pleasant emotions, basking in the positive stuff too.
Yes, really soaking it up when it's there.
Yeah, it's hard to do, I think, for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like when we're anxious, the negative emotions have more power.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, nothing feels more true.
Yes.
Sissy, have you cooked anything special lately with your new Caraway cookware?
Actually, I have. The other night, I made chicken tacos.
Oh, that sounds delicious. We made steak fajitas last week, and I'm telling you, it was so much easier cooking with Caraway.
It is. Caraway's naturally slick surface means you can use minimal oil or butter, and it's so easy to clean.
Don't forget, it's non-toxic without all of those crazy chemicals. Healthier meals and easy kitchen cleanup are a win-win in my book.
So what color did you and Connie land on? You guys have such a cute kitchen. I bet your Caraway cookware looks so good in there.
It does. We chose the blue. I know it sounds silly, but their colors make cooking feel so much more fun. Caraway is non-toxic cookware made modern and fun.
So fun. Our friends at Caraway are offering an exclusive deal for our listeners. Visit carawayhome.com/raisingboysandgirls to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. That's carawayhome.com/raisingboysandgirls or use code raisingboysandgirls at checkout.
Thinking about worry-free kids, would love to just ask you, what are some things that you say to parents whose children are struggling with worry and anxiety? What are things you want the parents to know?
I would remind them that anxiety is manageable.
Yeah.
And so to think about how their child's anxiety is helpful in some ways, and then at what point does it get to impede their child from doing the things that they want to do or even need to do. Mm-hmm. So if it's helpful to give kind of a real life example, you know, if we think about a kid who maybe wants to try out for a sports team or the school play, and for a kid who's not primed for anxiety, they may benefit from anxiety because it can drive them and motivate them to practice, work hard so they're better prepared for the audition or the tryout. And then as the anxiety builds, one kid with anxiety may react by deciding, I'm not going to do it. They're right. afraid of embarrassment or not getting on the team. And so that is the interesting and frustrating thing about anxiety is that it can make our world smaller and smaller if we keep listening to it.
Yes.
So to remind parents that their child is able to learn some techniques to lean into that anxiety so their world can expand is so important.
I love that idea.
That you started with remind parents that it can be helpful. I was just this week talking with a parent who the dad was saying, it's so hard for me that we walk in every room and she immediately is standing behind me and so cautious going into new spaces. Mm. And I was able to say to him, you know, as an adolescent, that actually can be helpful. Like those are the kids who walk into a room and need to read a room before they figure out what to do. And then as teenagers, we'd want her to walk into a room and think, ooh, I think there's some substances in here and maybe I don't want to be at this after party at this point. And so I love that you talk about there's a helpful component to it. And so we want to figure out when it's moving from the helpful to the problematic, obviously. But I love that you start there with parents saying, there's an upside. There are some good things that accompany this.
Absolutely. I love that you guys approach it that way too. Mm.
I also love that in the beginning you talked about how it feels like parents are more proactive. And we definitely are seeing that too. And sit with parents who say, I think my anxiety might be contributing to the anxiety of my kids.
Yeah.
What would you say to that parent?
It's not at all about the blame game. Mm. So I actually really respect and admire when parents are so open and self-reflective to say, is something I'm doing contributing? And so that said, there are sometimes some behaviors that can unintentionally contribute to kids' anxiety, one of those being reassurance. And so again, it's that continuum of sometimes it's really healthy.
I was going to say, say what you mean, because that's really important, because I think most parents would be like, wait, what? I thought I'm supposed to reassure my kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes that is good. Mm-hmm. And so maybe an example where it is helpful is a tornado came through Nashville a few years ago. And so we see kids with storm phobias. And often those storm phobias, I find, are rooted in, I'm afraid a tornado is going to hit my house.
Yes.
And so for a child, after that tornado, understandable and wonderful for parents to reassure their child that it's okay, we're safe. And for a child who's not primed for anxiety in that way, they may need a little bit of that reassurance and they experience some thunderstorms and rain and realize, I'm all good.
Yeah.
But for a kid who just is primed towards that type of phobia or fear, that insurance can just get so big. And so that may look like more frequent reassurance seeking, so asking more and more questions or wanting to check the forecast to see if there's rain later that week. And so when parents are noticing that that child is needing more and more reassurance, it can be helpful to recognize that.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
That. Yes. So I've written a couple books on anxiety and I did a lot of research. And one of the things that I love that felt super black and white that said parents should never answer more than 5 questions about the same topic.
Oh, interesting. Isn't
that interesting? So when a child is seeking that reassurance over and over and over and asking that we stop because we're going to teach them other tools. So yeah.
So just tackling it earlier so it doesn't get past that point.
Yes, exactly.
10 questions.
Yeah, because it feels like then the next question comes and the next question and that they, they're just not developing the strategies to work through it on their own. So I love that.
Along those lines of tools, what would you say are 3 of your favorite tools for teaching kids with anxiety?
I'm so excited to hear you say this.
So I don't have 3 favorites because I like to get to know each person I work with and really figure out what resonates with them.
That makes sense.
Of course. Yes. So I'll share 3 of my favorites, if that's okay.
Yes.
So
we're going to take notes. Everybody. All
right. So I like 4 or 5 breathing. And so that's deep diaphragmatic breathing that most of us know about. I can explain that in more detail if it'd be helpful.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Please. Tell us how to do it.
So deep diaphragmatic breathing is with our belly. And so your chest is going to stay still. Mm-hmm. And your belly blows up like a balloon when you inhale and deflates like a balloon as you exhale. And so for young kids, it can be fun to lay on their bed, pillow under their head, and put their favorite stuffed animal on their tummy, and they can see it rise and fall as they belly breathe. So that's a quick explanation.
Yes.
And 4 or 5 breathing is where you're doing that. And all you do is you breathe in for 4 slow counts and you breathe out for 5 slow counts. So it's a gentle reminder to exhale more slowly than you inhale. And that's really helpful physiologically because when we exhale, it actually activates our parasympathetic nervous system. So easier to remember as the rest and digest system, and that complements our sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight, flight, or freeze response. And that's a tricky thing with anxiety is when we're anxious and we're worried all the time, we spend so much more time than is necessary in that stress response, in that fight, flight, or freeze response. Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes into a second strategy I really like, which would be thought testing or thought challenging strategies. And there are a number of ways to do this, but the gist of it is when we think about something, our brain doesn't know the difference between whether we're simply thinking it or whether it's actually happening. So we could be laying in our warm, cozy bed, and if we're thinking about the argument we had with a family member earlier that day or a big exam the next day, our body is stressed out. It is in that fight, flight, or freeze. And so it can be helpful to think more rationally. And that's hard. So sometimes it is helpful to do some breathing or other relaxation or mindfulness first. Mm-hmm. And then when we can get to a place where we can think more logically, it's really helpful because anxiety has this good way of tricking us into the worst case scenarios happening.
Yes. Do you have a favorite way of coaching people to do that? To stop the thoughts or questions to ask themselves?
There are so many ways. I like to do thought records. That's going to be a little bit hard to explain here because I write it out with them. So when somebody's being self-critical with themselves, I think it's helpful to pretend that you are talking to a good friend who is saying that very thing to you. And what would you say to help support your friend? Mm-hmm. And that is because we are not only more honest with other people compared to ourselves, we're kinder too.
Yes.
So we're kinder, we're more honest, and we can just be so harsh and unrealistic with ourselves.
Yes, so true.
A final strategy is I like to practice gratitude every day. And one way to do that is to ask yourself 3 questions. What surprised me? What moved me? What inspired me? And I really like this because from my own practice, when you make a daily habit out of asking those 3 questions every day, you start moving through the day looking for those answers. So you're fostering those emotions of gratitude and joy and wonder throughout the day, not just in that minute or so that it takes to answer that question.
Will you say one more time? What moved me? What inspired me?
And what surprised me?
What surprised me? Yes. And joy and gratitude and wonder.
Absolutely.
Love it.
I love it too. And then you're hunting for good instead of investigating for pain. Yes, I love it.
And that idea of we find what we're looking for.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
Sissy, I have a question for you. Do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Why are you quoting lyrics from 1979, David?
Okay, good job. You caught that. But for real, I know you love Liquid IV pina colada flavor.
I do, but not getting caught in the rain.
Fair enough. Did you know that 1 stick of pina colada Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you 2 times faster and more efficiently than water alone? And has 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks.
Did you know that Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world? And to date has donated over 36 million servings in over 50 countries around the world.
I love great products that are also doing good work in the world.
Me too. David, tell folks where they can find Liquid IV.
Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code RBG at checkout.
That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code RBG at liquidiv.com. Okay, what do you wish every parent raising a kid today could hear?
Let's see. I think that it is heartbreaking to see your kids struggle or suffer. And so if they didn't get into their dream college or Maybe they're afraid to sleep away from you. They won't sleep in their bed on their own. It can be easy to just want to make them feel better and ease their suffering. And so maybe it's just about retail therapy or getting their mind off of it. Yes. Or just saying, that's fine. Like, I'll sleep with you. And there's a place and a time for that, of course. And then also knowing that some of the best ways we can support our children are to let them struggle some too. So I like to think about it like physical exercise to promote our physical health, where when we're working out, we are struggling. We are straining our muscles. We're getting uncomfortable. And that is the only way we can make our body physically stronger, of course. And so the same with our psychological and our emotional health. None of us get stronger from a place of comfort.
That's so good.
Yeah, that's a quote right there that we'll have on a little Instagram picture. Yes, none of us get stronger from a place of comfort. What a great reminder.
Those words.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we like to end with something fun and food related. So I've got a two-part question for you.
All right.
The first is queso or guac, and the second is what's your favorite kind of taco?
So both are delicious, but if I had to choose, I'd go with guac. And when I'm at a restaurant, I always go for seafood, so I love a good fish taco.
Yes. Have you found a favorite here in Nashville?
I haven't been in a while, but I like local taco. Yeah. You guys have been?
Yes. It's a great spot. Yes. Yeah. Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is so evident. I mean, not only have you shared so much truth, but just who you are. You have such a calming, kind presence that, you know, even that concept that we know that makes such a difference when other people are anxious and when we're around them. So you are very uniquely crafted to do exactly what you're doing. So yes, we're grateful for you.
Oh, I can say the same for both of you. It's been a joy talking with both of you.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's our joy to bring the experience and insight we gain through our work beyond the walls of the Daystar House.
If you enjoyed this conversation, please share it with your friends. And don't forget to click the follow button in your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. To learn more about our parenting resources or to see if we're coming to a city near you, visit our website at raisingboysandgirls.com.
Join us next time for more help and hope as you continue your journey of raising boys and girls.